closing in prayer for illumination.
May we hear today, O God of illumination, words of wisdom and truth that will lead us to a deeper awareness of your loving presence in the world. Amen. The first reading is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It's from the New Revised Standard Version. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The hymn is from the Big Blue Book and is "Great is Thy Faithfulness," number 276.
Thank you. Our gospel lesson today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And this is the story of the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today is the first Sunday in Lent, and we begin as usual with the stories of temptation. As Lent is a time for personal reflection and penitence, it's probably a pretty good place to start because we're all tempted, aren't we? In the beginning, God created the earth and everything in it, including Adam and Eve, and called them good. Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden, and they had everything that they needed to live: food and shelter, animals and plants, and each other. God gave them only one restriction: don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or you will die. The implication is that without eating from this tree, they would live forever, communing with God and each other in harmony with nature, a perfect life. But one day, Adam and Eve are hanging out in the garden, and the serpent approaches them. "He is crafty," says the story, and he speaks to Eve. "You mean you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" Now, that's not what God said at all, right, is it? I don't know if this is the serpent's opening line, but I imagine that the serpent and Adam and Eve had had somewhat of a conversation about life in the garden, which led up to this question. And Eve replies, "Well, we can eat from any of the trees in the garden, except the one in the middle. But if we eat of it, or if we even touch it, we'll die." Again, that's a misrepresentation of what God actually said, isn't it? And the serpent says, "Oh, you won't die. God just doesn't want you to have the knowledge of good and evil, because then you will be like God." So Eve took the apple. It looked like it would be good to eat, and the extra benefit would be that it would make them wise. So Eve ate some of the fruit and gave some to Adam, and he ate, and their eyes were opened, and they became wise. Only wisdom wasn't exactly what they expected, was it? Because in their wisdom, they realized that they were naked, and they felt ashamed, and they hid from God because they were ashamed and afraid. It is the old, old story. We have all had parents, or we've been parents, and we know that our innocent children will one day grow out of that innocent state. And so we try to protect their innocence, or our parents try to protect our innocence for as long as possible by making rules to keep us out of trouble, for as long as possible. But it doesn't take long for kids to want to explore their world, and before we know it, they're tempted to break one of our rules. Maybe the rule is to not run into the street. They don't understand, as little children, what can happen if they're hit by a car. Then maybe they see a pet get hit, or a toy get run over, or perhaps they are nearly hit themselves. And that lesson is learned. But something is also lost, an innocence, a sense of freedom, of moving about in the world, a belief that badness doesn't exist, a lack of understanding that life can change in a second, and that some choices can't be taken back. We all have choices in our lives that we wish that we hadn't made, don't we? Actions that we've taken that turned out to be bad for us or have hurt us or someone we love, even actions that didn't turn out the way we expected. We all have regrets, and while I believe that even our bad choices can work for good in the long run, when we make a mistake, when we allow ourselves to be tempted away from what is good and healthy for us into actions that hurt us or those around us, we lose something, don't we? We might gain experience, but we lose a purity of spirit that we have at birth. Each time we err, we chip away at that purity, and we can become less and less the simple beings that we had been. For some of us, this means becoming mean-spirited and cynical. For others, it means not knowing how to relate to other people in a healthy way. For Adam and Eve, it meant knowing that they were naked and being ashamed and hiding from God. And this is the real loss for them, I think, losing out on a perfect, complete, and whole relationship with their Creator, losing out on an innocence of spirit that didn't feel shame but only felt the goodness of God that they were created to have. But God never stops loving God's creations. Even though the people are put out of Eden and become mortal, God never stops caring for them, never stops trying to repair the relationship with them, never stops trying to save them. Through the days of the flood, days of famine, days of slavery in Egypt, through times that the people turned away and made idols, followed lesser gods like Baal, grew more and more cynical and farther away from God's good creation. Through all of that, God never stopped loving the people of God. God sometimes grew angry, as we do as parents sometimes, or our parents did with us, but God never stopped loving the people of God. And eventually God decided to come to earth in human form in the person of Jesus, who we called God's Son, but who we also believe was God in human form. In Jesus we have not only a divine Savior, but also a human example of how we are to live. Jesus was, as we see in Matthew, tempted just as we are tempted, to actions outside of God's intent for Jesus' human life. After Jesus was baptized, he was led by the Spirit, it says in Matthew, to be tempted. Why did the Spirit lead Jesus to be tempted? Was it so that Jesus could show off and make all of us mortals feel bad because we're not perfect as he is perfect? I don't think so. Was it so God could experience temptation and know what it was really like to be a human being? Maybe, but neither of these answers are really satisfying. But it is important for us to know that Jesus was tempted and Jesus did resist. As we read on, the devil tempts or tests Jesus in three ways. Jesus is hungry, so the devil suggests that Jesus turn turn some stones into bread. Jesus is human, so the devil suggests that risking harm to himself to see if he will be saved by the angels. And Jesus is loyal to God, so the devil suggests that if Jesus becomes loyal to him, Jesus will have rule over all of the earth. It's interesting to note the exchange. The devil offers, and Jesus counters with a scripture verse. Three times he does this. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's Deuteronomy 8:3. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. That's Deuteronomy 6:16. And worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Deuteronomy 6:13. All of these are from a part of Deuteronomy that tells about the Israelites wandering in the desert, a time that tested the Israelites and their loyalty to God. And the tests come to the Israelites also in three ways: hunger, security, and prosperity and power. Sounds familiar. Jesus was tested by hunger, security, and prosperity and power as well. And in this way, Jesus is linked to the people of Israel and to Moses once again, who led the people during their time of testing. And you know, that's often how we are tested: by hunger for something, by the need for security, by the desire for prosperity and power. But Jesus is a bridge that leads the people of God, including us, to a new way, a way that encompasses both law and prophets, as we saw last week, faith and action. Jesus was tempted and tested as Adam and Eve were tested, as the people of Israel were tested, as you and I are tempted and tested, not because God wants to play gotcha with us, but so we will learn and grow. In this way, it's important that we don't hear this story as Jesus resisted temptation and you should too, because frankly, we're not Jesus. But by seeing that Jesus, Son of God, was tempted and tested as we are tempted and tested, we know that God has experienced this. He has experienced what we go through practically every day of our lives. By seeing that God continues over the years to seek those who are lost, to seek those who make mistakes, who aren't perfect as we imagine perfect to be, we know that we too are loved by God. Of course, the story of Jesus in the wilderness gives us a framework for helping us when we are faced with choices, with doubt, with the reality of being human. Today, we often find ourselves feeling famished, not just physically hungry, but spiritually and emotionally as well. Our response is often to try to fill that emptiness with material possessions or too much food or alcohol or drugs, with power-seeking behavior that leads us to try to dominate others, putting them down or shaming them because they are different than we are. Time and time again, though, we find that while these things might temporarily make us feel better, they aren't a permanent solution. When we look at the way that Jesus is tempted and tested in the wilderness and look at how he was able to resist, we see that rather than relying on himself or trying to fill himself with the things that Satan offered to him, he relied on the word of God to help him resist the maneuvers of the devil. He quotes scripture each time calling on a verse that helps him and us remember when God was faithful. Now, memorizing Bible verses has kind of fallen out of favor, but that doesn't mean it isn't still important. And we don't need to memorize the whole Bible to help. Knowing a few key verses can go a long way. For example, a couple of my favorites are, "All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to God's purposes," and "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." both verses that I remember when things aren't going my way. Of course, most of us here have memorized the 23rd Psalm, a psalm which can be a great comfort in times of sorrow. Many psalms, in fact, are very good at helping keep our faith strong. From "This is the day that the Lord has made," to "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. Yes, there are times when we will be tested and tempted by life, and yes, sometimes we will falter, as Adam and Eve did. Sometimes we'll pass the test, as Jesus did. But the thing to remember is whether we fail or whether we pass, God loves us just the same. So let us give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Amen.